So from the blood sport of boxing to the blood sport of politics, the Los Angeles Times recently cataloged a spate of faintings at events for Barack Obama around the country, which the paper suggested was yet one more measure of the phenomenon that seems to be the Obama campaign. But phenomenon or not, he seems to be roughly tied in national polls with Hillary Clinton, although he's had some momentum. The two are fairly close in delegates as well, and Clinton seems to be trailing him only by a few points in Wisconsin, which in pure vote-em-bucky fashion has its first meaningful primary in years. Jim Vandehei is kind enough to join us. He's the executive editor of Politico.com, and he's often with us for the BPP Political Roundup. Hey, Jim.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Good to have you, man.
Are you excited about tomorrow?
I am. You know, Wisconsin's my homeland.
So
my people will finally be able to speak and have their voices heard.
Let my people vote.
I was going to say, just like William Schneider would say, your peeps. there are about 92 delegates in play, I'm told. So tell us briefly what a win would mean each for Senator Clinton and Senator Obama as they look ahead to all those states that are in play on March 4th.
I mean, if Clinton were to win, and I think it's highly unlikely, it would be huge. I think it would be a game changer because everybody anticipates that she's going to lose Hawaii and Wisconsin and that she's going to have to rely on Texas and Ohio to save her campaign. I think Obama's widely expected to win because he spent more money. He spent more time there. I think the demographics tend to favor him, not as dramatically as in states like Virginia and Maryland, but certainly do favor him. It's fascinating because I do think this really does come down to Texas and Ohio. There's almost this air of desperation that you feel inside the Clinton campaign because they just don't know how to attack Obama and how to stop his momentum.
Well, you know, that's
impenetrable.
That's interesting. You know, both were in Milwaukee Saturday for that Wisconsin Democratic Party fundraising dinner. And that pivot that you're talking about for Clinton is also in some ways affecting him. People have questioned how tough Obama can be, right, for a national campaign.
Right.
And Saturday, he said he's up for the fight. I wanted to play this clip.
I'm skinny, but I'm tough. And I am looking forward to a debate with John McCain.
So how fine a line does this guy, this self-identified candidate of hope, a seemingly post-racial, post-partisan figure, how fine a line does he have to walk when he's also trying to kind of hammer his opponents?
I think at this point he can it's not that fine of a line. The question is, once he gets to a general election, I really do think this is a legitimate concern that the Clinton people raise, that the guy's never had to run a tough campaign in his life. The truth is, people say that Clinton's been tough on him. She really has not. This has not been a nasty campaign by any measure.
Right.
The guy's never really had attack ads run against him. He's never really had to get whacked around by the Republicans, who are pretty darn good at this stuff. I mean, I think I've talked to many people in the Clinton campaign who genuinely feel that if Obama gets the nomination, he has no chance of beating McCain. Some of that, I think, is sour grapes, but some of that is very legitimate when I'm talking to them. They feel very sincere that he will have a tough time because he's never actually had to articulate his position on Iraq, on Iran, or on a lot of issues, and there's no way Republicans will let him off the hook.
He's
proven pretty darn agile in this campaign.
Sure. Let's turn to Senator Clinton herself. She told Wisconsin Democrats she can get things done, and let's play that.
It's not about the bright lights and the cameras. It is about the changes we can make that actually deliver results in people's lives.
So she's the pragmatic one. She's the accomplisher. And that's the pitch that she's making publicly. In private, she's doing something similar, but she's got what seems like a two-track strategy, right, for chasing delegates. She's trying to push the party to give her credit for the hundreds of delegates she got in Michigan and Florida, even though they had been punished and stripped of delegates for arranging their early primaries. She's also trying to convince the superdelegates that, hey, you guys got to decide this race and you got to come home to me. I'm the one who can get things done. What kind of luck is she having with those arguments?
Not much. In some ways, it's sort of an absurd argument. If it turns out that she's behind in pledged delegates and she's behind in states won and behind in the overall popular vote, I think most people would think it's absurd for her to say, make Michigan count when Obama didn't even compete there at all, make Florida count when the party said, hey, it's not going to count anyways, and then hopefully a bunch of superdelegates will come to her. The truth is, it's not going to happen. I mean, if Obama wins Texas or Ohio, it's over, period, because the superdelegates will make it be over. Even the ones that are committed to Hillary Clinton, take the ones out that aren't on her payroll or are not longtime supporters that go back over a decade, all those people will start to move towards Obama because they don't want a long, drawn-out, messy fight,
sure,
especially if it looks like there's a clear winner. So
very, very
some of it, I think we're getting sidetracked, but in some sense.
Sure. Very briefly, John Edwards met with Obama yesterday. He had already met with Clinton, been in close contact. Briefly, how likely is he to pick sides, and what would it do?
I don't mean to sound like totally cynical. I don't think he'll do anything. I don't understand why people would spend this much time trying to get in endorsements. Endorsements, 99 out of 100 times, don't do a darn thing in politics. We get all hooped up about it, but it never does anything. You think, how many people have you ever met that said, well, I don't know how I'm going to vote until I find out what John Edwards is going to do?
Okay, that said,
certainly gives you a good day's worth of campaign coverage, and it's like a nice little jolt. But I don't, I mean, look at Ted Kennedy couldn't deliver Massachusetts for Obama. So
sure.
It's not that. I don't think these things matter that much.
That said, we got a little less than a minute left. On the GOP side, John McCain's benefiting from getting some of the delegates bequeathed him by Mitt Romney. He says he's ready to take on the Democrats.
I can out-campaign them, and I can out-debate them, and I can out-perform them in what I think my vision for America is.
In the last 30 seconds we have, how much of an advantage does Senator McCain have over the two Democrats now that he can focus on them and the national campaign?
He has an advantage if, at least for the next month, if he uses his time effectively. He's got to figure out how he's going to start to raise money. He's got to figure out what exactly his general election strategy is going to be. And quite frankly, he should probably work on how he delivers a speech and how he performs in debates. He might think that he can out-campaign Barack Obama, assuming that he's going to be the nominee, but he's not.
Okay, and we're going to cut it off there.
Speeches.
Jim VandeHei, executive editor of thepolitico.com. Thanks so much.
Enjoy the day. Bye.
Come on up. We'll find out what FEMA is doing to address concerns of formaldehydes in trailers that it gives to people who are in need. And we'll check in with a wife and mom who we spoke to back in October. She and her family have been living in a trailer in Mississippi since Hurricane Katrina destroyed their home. This is the BPP from NPR News.